The world is a right sort of place. Here I examine what's going on inside the pressure cooker, how ways of talking contribute to both the special balm and the particular pain that we find in our families. Once you know what's in the pot and how the pressure of the cooker affects what's in it, you can stir and blend the ingredients in new and different ways. In That's Not What I Meant, I introduced my concept of conversational style and showed how understanding the workings of conversation can shed light on relationships and provide a starting point to improve them. You Just Don't Understand focused on the conversational styles of women and men, how they're the same, how they're different, how those differences can cause distress, and how understanding the differences can dispel some of that distress. In Talking From 9 to 5, I considered, as the original subtitle put it, how women's and men's conversational styles affect who gets heard, who gets credit, and what gets done at work. Then, in the argument culture, I moved to public conversations in the media, politics, law, and education, and our tendency to approach everything as a metaphorical battle. Now I return to my first love, the language of everyday conversation and how it works, or fails to work, to create, reinforce, complicate, and improve relationships in the family. We hear a lot of talk about family these days. Politicians pepper their speeches with the phrase, family values. If someone leaving a job or public office gives the explanation, "I want to spend more time with my family," no one questions that motive. We excuse behavior we would otherwise not tolerate with the all-forgiving comment, "Well, they're family." Why does the word carry such weight? Family represents a sense of belonging, a foundation for everything else we are or do. It feels that if we can fit into our families, we can fit into the world. And if our families can see us for who we really are, we can be who we are, not only in the family, but also in the world. But the coin has another side. If members of our family, those who presumably know us best and care the most, are critical, find us wanting, then who will love us? The more impersonal, complex, and overwhelming the world gets, the more we turn to our families for comfort and belonging. Though it's possible to reject our families completely, and sometimes that becomes necessary, in most cases we want to keep contact, keep the caring. Yet at times we feel frustrated by the very contact we seek. Sometimes it feels as if the seeds of family love yield a harvest of criticism and judgment rather than, or along with, approval and acceptance. When we talk to family members, we search for signs of love but become attuned to signs of disapproval. One woman whose daughter called her often but ended up getting annoyed at her each time protested, "You called me! Why do you call me if you don't like what I say?" We all keep calling, by telephone, email, or in our hearts, because we want the connection that family affords. That's why we need to find ways to ensure that those conversations more often yield the comfort we seek and less often lead to dismay. Every relationship is an ambivalent one, a psychologist friend used to say. There are things we treasure and things that irritate about each person in our lives, including each person in our families. At times, those irritations blossom into arguments, and often the arguments get as tangled as uncontrollable vines. Part of the power of understanding talk in families is the ability to see what makes this happen. With this knowledge, we stand a better chance of working things out without working each other over. What's in store? In this book, I look at family as a small community of speech, an organic unit that shapes and maintains itself linguistically. Here are some of the key concepts that I developed to uncover the ways that conversations create a family. Everything we say to each other echoes with meanings left over from our past experience, both our history talking to the person before us at this moment and our history talking to others. This is especially true in the family, and our history of family talk is like a prism through which all other conversations and relationships are refracted. We react not only to the meaning of the words spoken, the message, but also to what we think those words say about